We got a good team here in Omaha that can answer questions. Just thanks again for everybody's support. Our aim is to communicate clearly and as flatly as possible across the many stakeholders. You got the points of contact there. And with that, I'll hand it back over to Ryan. Over.
Thank you, sir. And with that, we'll turn it over to Ms. Holt of the National Weather Service. Ma'am.
Thank you. So to kind of brief you on what's going on with the current situation, that the last tributary to crest is the Little Sioux River. And it is currently cresting today with a second crest around 40,000 CFS. And then, so when we talk tomorrow, we should have all the tributaries past their crest and coming in along the Missouri River itself. Sioux City is the only river that has currently crested and is on its way down and will remain above flood stage probably for the next 24 hours or so. The biggest change in the forecast today is that I did try to hold up some of the recessions and broaden out some of the crests. So when we're looking at these crest numbers, that these crests might hang around that same value for, oh, we'll say 24 to 48 hours, kind of as the crest kind of makes its way down the river. So at Omaha, we're looking at a crest of almost 35 feet by Friday evening and in the moderate flood category. Downstream at Nebraska City, we're looking at just under 25 feet cresting on Saturday. Then moving down to Brownville, we're looking at just under 42 feet on Sunday. At Rulo, just under 24 feet on Monday. And then if we look down at St. Joe, which is the last location that we're expecting moderate flood stage, we're looking at around 24 and a half feet cresting on Tuesday. Downstream of St. Joe, just for a reference, we are looking at most locations reaching minor flood stage all the way down to Herman, Missouri. Over the next couple of days with the QPF in the forecast, the next 24 hours looks like the Missouri River Corridor area is going to get a little bit of a reprieve with very minimal, if anything, for in the way of forecasted precipitation. For day two, the Thursday morning through Friday morning, we are looking at an area of widespread precipitation, roughly in the area of Omaha down to Kansas City, that could see anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of precipitation and slightly lower amounts, maybe up to around a half an inch across the Sioux River Basin, the James and the Vermilion area, with slightly higher amounts further north into the James Basin. On day three, which would be Friday morning through Saturday morning, we will see another band hitting the same area from Omaha to through Kansas City, dumping another 1 to 2 inches of precipitation in that area, but the further north area looks to be dry on that day. When we looked at that precipitation into the model over the next few days, there's very little change to the current crest from Sioux City down through St. Joe. But south of there, we have the potential to add another 2 feet to the crests, clear down through the, down to St. Louis, I guess, and some locations that could start reaching into moderate in that area with that additional QPF. So that's all I have for our update today.
Thank you, Lisa. Now we'll turn it over to Mr. Remus of the Missouri River Water Management Division. Sir.
Thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Lisa, for your update there. From a reservoir system management point of view, this morning at 8 o'clock, we moved all of the flow back into the powerhouse at Gavin's Point and reduced releases from 24,000 cubic feet per second to 20,000 cubic feet per second. And we plan to, if the pool continues to recede, decrease releases again tomorrow to 16,000, and if the trend continues to continue with the pool, we will decrease releases to 13,000 on Friday. Upstream, we're working with the project and with Western Area Power Administration to bring Fort Randall back up. It'll take a few days before we see that. We have to fill the river up with water. We are going to start bringing Fort Randall back. That's all I have from a system water management. You, Ryan.
Thank you, John. Now we'll transition to the emergency managers from the Omaha and Kansas City District. From Omaha, Mr. Spencer Giles, sir.
Good afternoon. This is Spencer Giles. I'm the Emergency Management Chief for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Omaha District. There's no change to our Emergency Operations Center activation level or our operational hours previously announced, which remain 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily. We continue to support state, local, and local communities through technical assistance teams and material supply requests. In addition, we have continued to have surveillance teams on the systems on the Missouri River. At this time, the crest of the flood has progressed into the Nebraska-Iowa area, and we are starting to see the effects in the Omaha Council Bluffs region, with peak levels expected to begin late tomorrow afternoon. Whenever levees are loaded, there's an increased risk, but we anticipate our federal levees to perform as designed. Those in the protected area of a levee must always remain vigilant, monitor local emergency guidance, and stay informed of evacuation routes. We have relocated some of our emergency flood fighting supplies and equipment to ensure our continued ability to provide support to our stakeholders. Please be aware that even though the water may have crested in your area, water levels remain high and therefore hazardous. Large debris has been observed in floodwaters. We anticipate dealing with the effects of this event for several days after the water has begun receding. Take appropriate precautions and avoid areas of high water. While we are assisting our state and local partners, the Corps of Engineers is not responsible for either evacuations or road closures. We ask that you please contact your state and local entities with questions or concerns regarding those issues. State and local authorities are also an appropriate entities for reporting flooded roads or other high waters so that they can ensure closures. If you have any questions for us, we can be reached by calling 402-995-2448. If it's after operational hours, please leave a message with a telephone number and we'll return the call as soon as possible. In summary, thank you for your participation in our outreach calls. Continue monitoring your local conditions for notifications and follow emergency notices.
Thank you, Spencer. Now we'll turn it over to Mike Doolin from the Kansas City District Emergency Management Office. Sir.
Hi, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Doolin, Emergency Management Specialist here in the Kansas City District. The current situation, like any flood event, is very dynamic. It takes all of us at the federal, state, and local levels to monitor and respond to changing conditions on the ground. We will continue to work with our partners to manage the system to prioritize life safety and flood damage reduction. The Kansas City District Emergency Operations Center remains active to level 3 emergency watch with hours of operation from 0700 to 1700 daily. We plan to have a flood fight team back on the ground in Holt County, Missouri, providing technical assistance to our levee partners Friday through Monday as the crest moves into and through Holt County. Current river observations show that Rulo, Nebraska is in minor flood stage around 19.5 feet. And will continue to rise to 23.9 around 1 July. Over the next 72 hours or 3 days, no levees in our area of responsibility are forecast to overtop. That said, as a reminder, we are going to see some loading on our levee systems up there in northwestern Missouri. Anytime levees are loaded with water, it does present a dangerous situation. Based on the latest river forecast data, we've seen little change in freeboard estimates for the following levees in Holt County. So as the crest comes through, the Corning Levee District in Holt County, as well as Union Township, can expect to see an estimated amount of 1 foot or less freeboard. Holt County number 9, Holt County number 10, and Cannon Drainage District can expect to have between 2 and 5 foot of freeboard as the crest moves through. And these are just estimates, remember. So please keep in mind, again, that freeboard, that their estimates, they are subject to change as new river forecast data becomes available from the National Weather Service. So we will continue to monitor river levels and advise levee districts of any significant changes in estimated loading or freeboard. As mentioned on previous calls, we have an inventory of 3.7 million sandbags and various other flood fight materials positioned throughout the district. To date, We have received no requests for direct assistance from any local entities planning to actively flood fight. It's important to remember that for awareness, the Corps cannot distribute sandbags for stockpiling. So we have received a few inquiries from county and local EMAs regarding stockpiling of sandbags. And the Corps cannot distribute sandbags for stockpiling. Levee districts, local governments, or counties requesting materials must be actively engaged in flood fighting measures before the Corps can issue them. The local entity requesting sandbags is also responsible for providing the sand to fill the bags, in addition to a workforce and plan to place the bags. The request for flood fight supplies always starts at the local level. The levee district or local government will submit a request to their county emergency management agency. If the county cannot support that request, the county will then submit a request to the state emergency management agency, so Kansas Division of Emergency Management, or most SEMA for RAOR. If the state cannot fill that request, the state will then send a request to the Corps of Engineers, and we will fill that, assuming we have the supplies or materials being asked for. So we have sandbags, pumps, a product called HESCO Barrier, and a few other things. So our staff, we continue to coordinate with federal, state, and local partners by sharing situational updates each morning regarding river forecasts and levee status. Currently, the states have no unmet resource needs from the Kansas City District. If you need to contact us, we can be reached after duty hours by calling 816-426-6320. If it's after duty hours, leave your name and contact phone number. That'll start pinging our cell phones, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mike. Well, we will open the briefing for questions. If anyone has any questions, we will go by state in alphabetical order. So we'll start with Iowa. Do we have anyone from Iowa that has any questions for our field today?
Yeah, this is Tyler Jett, Des Moines Register. Do you guys maintain a list of levees that have either breached or been overtopped since the flooding began?
This is Spencer in Omaha. So I think I'll try to answer that. So we do take reports, and we note those that at least that we've received reports on. And at present, the only reports that we've had of levee overtopping or failure were in Northwest Iowa, up in the Monona County area. Over.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Spencer. Any other from the state of Iowa? All right, we'll move on to the state of Kansas. Any questions from anyone from Kansas? Anyone with questions from Missouri?
Missouri has no questions, just for the senior leadership here from the Kansas City District. We just appreciate.
Can you confirm that you guys can hear me? Okay. Okay, great. I think we cleared it up. We got a good team here in Omaha that can answer questions. Just thanks again for everybody's support. Our aim is to communicate clearly and as flatly as possible across the many stakeholders. You got the points of contact there. And with that, I'll hand it back over to Ryan. Over.
Thank you, sir. And with that, we'll turn it over to Ms. Holtz of the National Weather Service. Ma'am.
Thank you. So to kind of brief you on what's going on with the current situation, that the last tributary to crest is the Little Sioux River. And it is currently cresting today with a second crest around 40,000 CFS. And then, so when we talk tomorrow, we should have all the tributaries past their crest and coming in along the Missouri River itself. Sioux City is the only river that has currently crested and is on its way down and will remain above flood stage probably for the next 24 hours or so. The biggest change in the forecast today is that I did try to hold up some of the recessions and broaden out some of the crests. So when we're looking at these crest numbers, that these crests might hang around that same value for, oh, we'll say 24 to 48 hours, kind of as the crest kind of makes its way down the river. So at Omaha, we're looking at a crest of almost 35 feet by Friday evening and in the moderate flood category. Downstream at Nebraska City, we're looking at just under 25 feet cresting on Saturday. Then moving down to Brownville, we're looking at just under 42 feet on Sunday. At Rulo, just under 24 feet on Monday. And then if we look down at St. Joe, which is the last location that we're expecting moderate flood stage, we're looking at around 24 and a half feet cresting on Tuesday. Downstream of St. Joe, just for a reference, we are looking at most locations reaching minor flood stage all the way down to Herman, Missouri. Over the next couple of days with the QPF in the forecast, the next 24 hours looks like the Missouri River Corridor area is going to get a little bit of a reprieve with very minimal, if anything, for in the way of forecasted precipitation. For day two, the Thursday morning through Friday morning, we are looking at an area of widespread precipitation, roughly in the area of Omaha down to Kansas City, that could see anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of precipitation and slightly lower amounts, maybe up to around a half an inch across the Sioux River Basin, the James and the Vermilion area, with slightly higher amounts further north into the James Basin. On day three, which would be Friday morning through Saturday morning, we will see another band hitting the same area from Omaha to through Kansas City, dumping another 1 to 2 inches of precipitation in that area, but the further north area looks to be dry on that day. When we looked at that precipitation into the model over the next few days, there's very little change to the current crest from Sioux City down through St. Joe. But south of there, we have the potential to add another 2 feet to the crests, clear down through the, down to St. Louis, I guess, and some locations that could start reaching into moderate in that area with that additional QPF. So that's all I have for our update today.
Thank you, Lisa. Now we'll turn it over to Mr. Remus of the Missouri River Water Management Division. Sir.
Thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Lisa, for your update there. From a reservoir system management point of view, this morning at 8 o'clock, we moved all of the flow back into the powerhouse at Gavin's Point and reduced releases from 24,000 cubic feet per second to 20,000 cubic feet per second. And we plan to, if the pool continues to recede, decrease releases again tomorrow to 16,000, and if the trend continues to continue with the pool, we will decrease releases to 13,000 on Friday. Upstream, we're working with the project and with Western Area Power Administration to bring Fort Randall back up. It'll take a few days before we see that. We have to fill the river up with water. We are going to start bringing Fort Randall back. That's all I have from a system water management. You, Ryan.
Thank you, John. Now we'll transition to the emergency managers from the Omaha and Kansas City District. From Omaha, Mr. Spencer Giles, sir.
Good afternoon. This is Spencer Giles. I'm the emergency management chief for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Omaha District. There's no change to our Emergency Operations Center activation level or our operational hours previously announced, which remain 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily. We continue to support state, local, and local communities through technical assistance teams and material supply requests. In addition, we continue to have surveillance teams on the systems on the Missouri River. At this time, the crest of the flood has progressed into the Nebraska-Iowa area, and we are starting to see the effects in the Omaha Council Bluffs region, with peak levels expected to begin late tomorrow afternoon. Whenever levees are loaded, there's an increased risk, but we anticipate our federal levees to perform as designed. Those in the protected area of a levee must always remain vigilant, monitor local emergency guidance, and stay informed of evacuation routes.
We have relocated some of our emergency flood fighting supplies and equipment to ensure our continued ability to provide support to our stakeholders. Please be aware that even though the water may have crested in your area, water levels remain high and therefore hazardous. Large debris has been observed in floodwaters. We anticipate dealing with the effects of this event for several days after the water has begun receding. Take appropriate precautions and avoid areas of high water. While we are assisting our state and local partners, the Corps of Engineers is not responsible for either evacuations or road closures. We ask that you please contact your state and local entities with questions or concerns regarding those issues. State and local authorities are also an appropriate entities for reporting flooded roads or other high waters so that they can ensure closures. If you have any questions for us, we can be reached by calling 402-995-2448. If it's after operational hours, please leave a message with a telephone number and we'll return the call as soon as possible. In summary, thank you for your participation in our outreach calls. Continue monitoring your local conditions for notifications and follow emergency notices.
Thank you, Spencer. Now we'll turn it over to Mike Doolin from the Kansas City District Emergency Management Office. Sir.
Hi, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Doolin, Emergency Management Specialist here in the Kansas City District. The current situation, like any flood event, is very dynamic. It takes all of us at the federal, state, and local levels to monitor and respond to changing conditions on the ground. We will continue to work with our partners to manage the system to prioritize life safety and flood damage reduction. The Kansas City District Emergency Operations Center remains active to level 3 emergency watch with hours of operation from 0700 to 1700 daily. We plan to have a flood fight team back on the ground in Holt County, Missouri, providing technical assistance to our levee partners Friday through Monday as the crest moves into and through Holt County. Current river observations show that Rulo, Nebraska is in minor flood stage around 19.5 feet. And will continue to rise to 23.9 around 1 July. Over the next 72 hours or 3 days, no levees in our area of responsibility are forecast to overtop. That said, as a reminder, we are going to see some loading on our levee systems up there in northwestern Missouri. Anytime levees are loaded with water, it does present a dangerous situation. Based on the latest river forecast data, we've seen little change in freeboard estimates for the following levees in Holt County. So as the crest comes through, the Corning Levee District in Holt County, as well as Union Township, can expect to see an estimated amount of 1 foot or less freeboard. Holt County number 9, Holt County number 10, and Cannon Drainage District can expect to have between 2 and 5 foot of freeboard as the crest moves through. And these are just estimates, remember. So please keep in mind, again, that freeboard, that their estimates, they are subject to change as new river forecast data becomes available from the National Weather Service. So we will continue to monitor river levels and advise levee districts of any significant changes in estimated loading or freeboard. As mentioned on previous calls, we have an inventory of 3.7 million sandbags and various other flood fight materials positioned throughout the district. To date, we have received no requests for direct assistance from any local entities planning to actively flood fight. It's important to remember that for awareness, the Corps cannot distribute sandbags for stockpiling. So we have received a few inquiries from county and local EMAs regarding stockpiling of sandbags. And the Corps cannot distribute sandbags for stockpiling. Levee districts, local governments, or counties requesting materials must be actively engaged in flood fighting measures before the Corps can issue them. The local entity requesting sandbags is also responsible for providing the sand to fill the bags, in addition to a workforce and plan to place the bags. The request for flood fight supplies always starts at the local level. The levee district or local government will submit a request to their county emergency management agency. If the county cannot support that request, the county will then submit a request to the state emergency management agency, so Kansas Division of Emergency Management, or most CEMA for RAOR. If the state cannot fill that request, the state will then send a request to the Corps of Engineers, and we will fill that, assuming we have the supplies or materials being asked for. So we have sandbags, pumps, product called HESCO Barrier, and a few other things. So our staff, we continue to coordinate with federal, state, and local partners by sharing situational updates each morning regarding river forecasts and levee status. Currently, the states have no unmet resource needs from the Kansas City District. If you need to contact us, we can be reached after duty hours by calling 816-426-6320. If it's after duty hours, leave your name and contact phone number. That'll start pinging our cell phones, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mike. Well, we will open the briefing for questions. If anyone has any questions, we will go by state in alphabetical order. So we'll start with Iowa. Do we have anyone from Iowa that has any questions for our field today?
Yeah, this is Tyler Jett, Des Moines Register. Do you guys maintain a list of levees that have either breached or been overtopped since the flooding began?
This is Spencer in Omaha. So I think I'll try to answer that. So we do take reports, and we note those that at least that we've received reports on. And at present, the only reports that we've had of levee overtopping or failure were in Northwest Iowa, up in the Monona County area. Over.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Spencer. Any other from the state of Iowa? All right, we'll move on to the state of Kansas. Any questions from anyone from Kansas? Anyone with questions from Missouri?
Missouri has no questions, just for the senior leadership here from the Kansas City District. We just appreciate the cooperative spirit with Mike Doolin and Judd Knuven, and they've always been that way, but we appreciate their assistance and their technical support when needed. We'll be moving some sandbagging machine and some personnel to St. Joe area tomorrow through the crest on Monday. Unless it gets kicked further down to Tuesday or Wednesday, then we'll readjust our personnel. But just appreciative of the calls.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Anyone from Montana with any questions?
I have a question from Missouri.
Go ahead, sir.
Name is Joe Gibbs. I was wondering if it's possible in your forecasts of river stages, if you could include the percentage of the water at a gauge that is controlled. It gives personnel and levee district people a feeling, okay, you know, like there's 10% coming out of the dams and 90% is uncontrolled. Wow, you know, we better watch out. but the figures that you have is, you know, for everything, but we would like to have the percentage that is controlled or uncontrolled. It makes no difference. Just, you know, give us one or the other. Thank you.
Hey, Joe, this is John Ramos. We can report on that in this meeting here. I don't think we need to put that on a website because that changes. If we make changes to our operations, that can change. And of course, as the hydrograph goes down, that percentage is going to change quite a bit. As of today, I would say anywhere from as little as 5% to as much as 20% of the flow at any particular gauge on the Missouri River is coming from Gavin's Point.
We have a lot of other reservoirs on the Kansas and the Osage River and other things too. And I don't mean gauges, but you have reservoirs. And by the time you get to Herman and Boonville, you know, things can change. And we just need a feeling like, you know, what's going on, you know, how much of that flow is controlled.
We will report that out going forward on this call.
And but it seems like you could set up a formula or something, and then when you get some of the data in, then that would drop out too and be published with all of, with the other information.
We'll report it out on this meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other follow-ons from Missouri? All right, Montana. Nebraska.
Hi, this is Julie Anderson from the Omaha World Herald. We've had quite a bit of rain here in Omaha last night, at least in some parts of Omaha, and you folks are forecasting quite a bit more in the next couple of days and to the south to Kansas City. Is that going to create any additional issues in Nebraska as far as higher than expected crests or more flooding than expected? I'm just trying to gauge that input or impact.
Could you answer that, please?
Yeah, so in the Omaha area, we weren't seeing any significant increases along the Missouri River from the forecasted precipitation. Most of it was going to be coming in south of the Omaha area from the tributaries. Some of those tributaries are expected to have some significant rises, but very few that are currently forecasted to go above flood stage. So like from the Omaha area down through, say, the Rulo area, we're only looking at an extra around 10,000 CFS into the Missouri River at this time, with the current precipitation forecast of anywhere from 1 to 4 inches in that area. And then as we moved further downstream below there, we were gonna start seeing more significant rises along the Missouri of around 2 feet, but that was generally below Kansas City.
Thank you, Lisa. Any other questions from Nebraska? All right, we'll move on to North Dakota. South Dakota. And Wyoming. All right, I do apologize. I don't have vision on the chat, but I understand there's some questions in there. So if we want to start with the question that was first, we'll address that.
I can do that if you want me to do that, Brian.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. The first question, actually Julie's was the first question in the chat. Next question is from Tom Waters. It says levy sponsors cannot request sandbags directly from the USAIDs. Is that correct? Can you provide contact numbers where to make these requests? So either Spencer or Mr. Doolin.
Tom, yeah. Hey, this is Mike Doolin here. Yes. So levy districts can reach out to us directly to request sandbags, and we've got a good enough relationship with the states that we can follow up that paperwork on the back end, because we all know what each other has in their inventory, right? So the process that I laid out is how it's established under the National Response Framework. That's how it's supposed to work. There's room for some gray areas, wiggle room there. So yeah, levy sponsors can reach out to us directly to request sandbags for those that are in our Public Law 8499 program.
The next question or comment is also from Tom Waters. Tom says, please start providing road information. Spencer, I think you talked a little bit about that. You want to address the difficulties in that?
Yeah, certainly. So that information is controlled and published from the state Department of Transportation typically. While they vary, each state has different 511 or informational numbers that are regularly updated. That's the best source that's to go to get current and reliable information on road closures.
Yeah, you want. Well, I think that, yeah, I'll, the next one. But Tom just posted a lot of road information in the chat. Thank you, Tom.
In the past, you had a representative from each of those DOTs that could give us a rundown on the call. Is that a possibility?
It's possible we can look into that. It's also possible that may be available. We'll
get to that. See if we can get somebody. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's the last of the comments. Chance Bittner did put something in there from the Kansas City District. Read it out loud for those of you who can't see the chat. We're at minimum or low flow out of the Kansas River Basin right now, about 200 CFS out of Tuttle and 25 CFS out of Perry. He gave a link to the daily bulletins in there. Justin Reimers from Cooper Nuclear Station. Can anyone on the call speak to the I believe that's water.noaa.gov website, looking to understand the difference between the main forecast provided and the HEFS 10-day river level probabilities. I don't know, Lisa, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The biggest difference between the official forecast and the HEFS product is that the forcings that are going into these model runs are different. So within our deterministic model, we have a specific amount of precipitation that's going in and being run through the model, and we are actively quality controlling the situation and the forecasts that are coming out of this product to make the best decisions for the forecast, whereas the HEFS product is using an ensemble of precipitation to run through the model based on historical information. But it is not a QC'd product, and it does not use the same information. So the information that's in the deterministic with the forecasted precipitation is not the same that's going into that HEFS product. Generally, the deterministic values are significantly higher. So that could lead to differences in the short term of the forecast differences. And then some of the modifications that we can make in our deterministic runs do not necessarily translate over to that automated HEFS run. So that could also create some differences into the model as well. The HEFS would generally be used as a guide for planning purposes to help make decisions of possible outcomes in the river. But I would generally avoid kind of using it in the short term when you've got heavier precipitation amounts in the first couple of days. We're looking out at it for day, say, 3 through 10 as a guide.
Thank you, Lisa. I don't see any other questions in the chat. Let's give one last chance for questions, either on the phone or in the chat.
I have one. This is Frank Huseman from up by Blencoe,
Iowa. Go ahead, Frank.
Just curious, you've got all these gauges listed. You know, we've got Sioux City, we've got Rulo, all the way down. Who determines where a gauge could be placed? Is there any advantage to having a gauge at a Blencoe, for example, or how is that determined? As we'd be interested in offering that site if there's need for another gauge.
Several factors go into where gauges are placed. We look at it from a watershed perspective. You know, we'd like to get a gauge downstream and upstream of major tributaries. Then we look at how far apart those are. Maybe we need one intermediately. The other factor is cost. There can be quite expensive to maintain. So that's another factor in there. And then we look at our period of record and historical information, maintaining that record, maintaining the integrity of the data set is where the Corps of Engineers puts priority on gauges. The USGS, they follow kind of a similar model. Again, they look at it from a basin or a national data need perspective. Blanco is pretty close to Sioux City and Decatur, so I don't think we would see a big advantage to having one in Blanco from a hydrologic over. Thanks for the question, Frank.
You bet. Thanks for the information, and also thanks for the communication that's been going on as well. It's been tremendous and certainly appreciated up in this area.
Thank you all for joining us today. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, John, not to beat a dead horse, but when I look at these DOT websites, it's really difficult to tell on their traveler maps if the road is closed because of flooding or if it's a construction area or just why. So if someone from the DOT could be on the call to let us know which roads are closed to flooding, that'd be very helpful. So thanks.
We'll talk about the states. We'll talk about the states, Tom. There is one more a question here from Amy Prokop. Would you please direct me to the correct office or person that I should visit with regarding several concerns about the outfall tube on the neighboring property to us? This is in Blair, Nebraska area.
Yeah, we'll get the right person.
Yeah, just call to the EOC here. The number is on the first slide. If you want to go back to that, please, Ryan. There, Mr. Spencer Giles, he'll at least get you in touch with the right person.
Thank you, Jim.
And then the other comment is there, will you be able to show some of the slides once more, please? There's only two slides. There's this contact slide and then the gauge slide that Lisa provided.
All right. Well, once again, thanks everyone for joining us. I'll turn it over to Lieutenant Colonel Burgoon for any final comments that you may have, sir.
Just short and sweet here. Thanks for everybody's collaboration. Mr. Waters, as John mentioned, we'll reach out to the states. Really, we're just very sensitive that everybody shares their own information so that we're communicating that as clearly as possible. That's why we've got the other reps on here, but heard loud and clear, and we'll see if we can get a state DOT rep on. Over.
Thank you, sir. And thank you to everyone who joined us today. This concludes our call.